Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
I recently found out that you can see a personal dietitian covered by insurance. There's this platform called Nourish that will match you with a dietitian based on whatever your concerns are, whether that's weight loss, eating disorders, autoimmune conditions, or something else. They're actually a network with major insurance providers, so most patients pay $0 out of pocket. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio, 105.7 The Fan.
No, I don't think it's urgency right now. There's a little bit of frustration from guys. We're not panicking in the clubhouse. We're just guys are trying to put together good at bats and feeding off each other a little bit. It's just a little bit of a challenge right now. Different ways, yeah. You do all different things. We'll have a hitters and pitchers meeting, just like we do every series before every series. After the off day, and remind them that they're really good players, and keep encouraging and staying positive. It's important right now. This wasn't our best road trip. Didn't catch a lot of breaks. We need to pitch better out of the rotation also to give our guys an opportunity. But we need to be we should be scoring more runs than we are, and we need to have more competitive at bats. And a lot goes into that, but nothing to do except to keep on going.
Keep on keeping on. Never stop, never stopping, right? Brandon Hyde, Vinny at 81.057 The Fan. Vinny is off today. He'll be back on Monday. Not to bury Brandon Hyde, but Penn State did lose last night, unfortunately, in the Frozen 4-3-1 to BU. But great run by the Nittany Lions, surprising everyone, even getting this far, even getting into the tournament, much less the Frozen Four. But their run came to an end, unfortunately. They will play BU, Western Michigan, who won an epic game against Denver in 2 overtime. So if you missed it on ESPN2, Penn State loses last night to BU, 3-1. But getting back to Brandon Hyde, Ryan Ripken will be in 11 o'clock. Me and Nolan are here for you. Featured Artist Friday. And it's an awesome band. It gets the Bob Haney thumbs up seal of approval, which means it must be really awesome. I like the Orioles and their play as of late. And look, this is a team minus a few pieces, but still with, the core group together, that's had 3 straight winning seasons. Going back to 2022. Remember, there was a time in 22. There was like a day in August late where they were in Tampa and they won the opener of the series. That if you had started the playoffs that day or the next day, the Orioles would have been one of the wild cards. Then D.L. Hall was called up. He started, struggled. Now on the 60-day IL in Milwaukee with that lat thing. I guess it follows you everywhere. And then 23, they won 100 games for the first time in 43 years. And last year, they make the playoffs. But first time in, 96, 97, they had going back-to-back. And if they have a winning season this year, and I'm not ready to say they're only going to win 70, 80 games, even though a lot of people are kind of jumping on that bandwagon, this would be the first time since 1968 to 1985, they had nothing but winning seasons. Be the first time in 40 years they've had four consecutive winning seasons. And I like to tell the younger listeners out there, and what's up, youngsters? 1985, I was 20. Nolan, I grew up with nothing but winning baseball. No 14 straight losing seasons. Hell, 88 win year was a bad year for the Orioles. So I was like, this is my birthright to watch championship baseball. Six World Series, three titles, blah, blah, blah. All in my lifetime. Now, I was still drooling on a couple of them. In 83, I was drooling because I was drinking too much. Celebrating the 83 championship at 18 years old. But it was like, hey, we're good every year. Start spring training, Orioles are finishing top three. They're going to be one of the best teams. And if the playoff format that's today was in place, they would have had multiple. They had playoff teams every year. But that wasn't the rules. Rules have changed. And the success rate changed. So getting, I'm not trying to sell you the four straight winning seasons, because to me that would suck. Winning season, oh, good. Not making the playoffs and winning, that would be a monumental step backwards. But you dig where I'm coming from here, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and expectations change. Yep. You know, you win 101 games, you don't just go to the next year and say, well, we're happy to be here. You know, we'll roll the dice and see what happens. No, I mean, that was the turning point right there. I think at the time we rightfully acknowledged that it was happening a lot sooner than we anticipated. I don't know if anyone even thought that 100 wins was on the table at any point during this rebuild. I mean, success was, but to reach that high of a peak, things change. And since then, objectively speaking, it's only been a full year and now a smidge of this year. Objectively speaking, it's been moving backwards.
Yep.
And it's not even like a regular season win total thing, because to follow up 100 wins with another 100 win season, well, that's unrealistic. Let's be honest about that. So go from 100 to 90 where they were, that's fine, but then do something in the playoffs. That would have been a step forward last year. Win the wild card series, don't get swept in the divisional round, would have been considered a step forward in my view.
Mm-hmm.
So just objectively, they have done nothing but go backwards since that peak.
Isn't there a 100-game sample size of sub-500 baseball?
That's what we're looking at.
Yeah, that speaks to your concerns there. And, you know, last offseason or prior to spring training, Michael Elias traded for Corbin Burnes. Splash move. And for the first, whatever, 60-some games of the season, maybe even more than 70, heading into mid-June, they were the best team in baseball, or could make an argument that they were. And since then, they haven't been. They've been competitive, made the playoffs, went quietly, didn't make a splash move, which everyone wanted this offseason. I'll go. They offered Burnes fair money. I don't want to belabor this point. I would have liked to have seen them make a real move at Garrett Crochet, and as Ryan Ripken said yesterday, well, Chicago wanted Samuel Basayo and Jackson Holliday. And if I'm Mike Elias, I'm kind of reluctant to make that trade too, because Garrett Crochet's track record of success is very limited, basically 1 year. You have no idea what Holliday or Basayo will turn out to be. But we knew they needed pitching. Sagano was like, who the hell's he? Get on the Google machine and figure it out. And in two starts, looks like a guy that's going to compete. We knew Charlie Martin's been good, but he's 41. Eflin, solid in a strong, air quotes, rotation. He's like your third starter. If he's on the opening day roster last year for the Orioles, he's their third starter. Now he's your ace. Now he's gone. So the pitching concerns are real. But is this a mediocre, less than mediocre team? And is there more to the equation? And Brandon Hyde in the open also said, we need to score more runs. Therein lies, to me, the big problem. We knew the rotation was going to be shaky. Maybe not as lame as it's been in some areas. You have two starting pitchers with ERAs over 8 three times through. But where's the offense? This is they've hit six home runs since they hit six on opening day. Seven times this year, and they played 13 games. They've scored three runs or less. They don't have a save situation yet because they're either blowing somebody out or getting spanked. The offense, to me, has been a major disappointment for them. Now minus Kowser, and you were minus Gunner for the first, what, nine games of the season.
Right, I'm with you 100%. You know, I mean, just coming into the year, you're right. You know, the offense was expected to carry that weight. And, okay, you lose Santander. Kowser's been hurt. You know, Henderson got the delayed start. But even still, the talent 1 through 9 in this lineup is more than capable, based on what we've seen in years past, to carry the load for this team. And they're just not doing it. And even more frustrating is the manner in which they're underachieving. You know, like you said, you hit five home runs one day. The next day, it's can't even get a guy on base.
They've hit two home runs since last Thursday.
Right. But even home runs aside, they're not doing anything. You know, I'll take, give me something here. You know, give me a ball in the outfield. That's all I was saying in the series finale against the Diamondbacks. It's like, it's almost contagious one way or the other. If they start hot, they'll take off and run with it. If they get through the first two, three innings and they're maybe getting no hit, or they maybe just one base runner, a walk or something like that, you're sitting there saying, well, I don't have to watch the rest of the game because I know where this is going. I don't know if it's a mentality thing, what's going on. Guys are pressing. It's very early for that, I would think. They seem to be committed to the process. Everyone that talked after that game on Wednesday said, I would just stick with it. The hits will come. We can't change anything drastic. And to some extent, I understand that. But I don't know, man. I mean, you change hitting coaches on a yearly basis.
Yeah. In some cases, you have multiple hitting coaches. But you said they're not pressing. To me, the approach still seems what it was in August, September, into October last year. Guys trying to do a little more than they should. I mean, the game against Arizona, the opener. Who was it? Merrill Kelly, I believe.
That was Gallen.
Gallen. Yeah. That was the best approach all season long. Made him get deep in accounts, got big hits when they needed to get them. And then after that, I mean, they had opportunities to blow open games, game two of the series, for instance, and the double plays are killing them, for sure. It's a very flawed baseball team right now. And Toronto's coming in. They just took 3 out of 4 at Fenway, losing yesterday in extras. But, no, I'm not pushing panic buttons, but maybe looking at it from a more realistic point of view that they're good enough maybe to get to the playoffs. But wait till we get to the whip. Like guys like Ryan Mountcastle, for instance. It's like, where are these guys? Everyone's kind of regressed from where they were just a couple years ago.
Right.
Not everyone, but a few players.
Yeah, like a Cedric.
Ones that matter.
Sure. I mean, it makes it a little more frustrating because a guy like Cedric Mullins, well, he started last year horrible.
Yeah.
This year, he's red hot.
He got hot, what, August, September? Yeah. And he's kind of rolled it through into this season.
So even a case like that, some guys are better, but it's just not enough. And I feel like, you know, some people say, oh, well, if Henderson was ready to go right from the jump, I don't know. Like a game like Wednesday, give me 100% healthy Henderson. Give me Zach Eflin on the mound in that game. They still don't win. I'm sorry. The full team approach just isn't there. It goes beyond just, oh, you're missing one or two pieces here. And I said it yesterday, help isn't on the horizon. There's nobody coming to save you. It's the core we're looking at right now. It's up to them to turn it around.
Orioles back on the diamond tonight, weather permitting. Look, it's going to rain all day. They're not playing tonight. And hopefully the Orioles will get religion and let everyone know that they're not playing at an appropriate time. And looking at the weather forecast, because I'll go Bob Turk, not Bob Haney, there's a possibility of a little doubleheader action on Saturday. I know it's going to rain into the morning, but let's not bleep around here. Let's get it rolling. And then Sunday afternoon, then they're off Monday, and then everybody comes to town on Tuesday because Toronto, I believe, goes home for the Braves on Monday. But anyway, I'm not trying to be Bummer Bob, Negative Nolan. We're just stating facts, 13 games in. No, we're not sticking a fork in them. But there are concerns here. and it's kind of out the bullpen. Bullpen's great. They don't have safe. There you go. Here's your bullpen. They're keeping things from getting way out of control. No saves, though. No save opportunities. Defensively, they've been shaky. Base running blunders abound. Maybe we are Bob Bummer and Negative Nolan. But get in here. If you want to ride that way, feel free to do so. You want to talk us off? I'm usually the one talking people off. If you want to talk us off, get in here at 410-583-1057. Rod Ripken joins us at 11. We got a ton to get to, and we'll get to a featured artist Friday. Who we jamming to? Rock and Roll Hall of Famers.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus, tax. For a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped death at the hands of the Manson family? But what about the real-life brutal murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
That's it. Keith Cavanaugh, TerrapinTimes.com. He'll be joining us 11:30. Jody Schaefer, by the way, we'll talk Ravens. Can you believe the draft is 13 days? Well, 2 weeks from today, we're in day two. Ravens have 11 picks. What are they going to do with 27? We know the needs. We've talked about that multiple times. Exactly what goes down? We'll find out soon enough. Let's get out to the phones. 410-583-1057 is the number. Chris in Parkville. Chris, thanks for holding. How you feeling on this Featured Artist Friday?
Feeling good. Happy Friday, bud.
Hell yeah.
Love me some Van Halen, too. I couldn't agree more.
That's like saying you don't like football, baseball, and pizza if you don't like Van Halen. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. But on the Orioles, I just want to piggyback, maybe expand a little bit on what you were saying. I believe Baltimore is going through something called football fanitis. And they think there's only 4 games left, and they're throwing their arms to the sky. We're just in the infancy of this season, and there's a little bit of trouble there with the pitching, and I think they're torquing the bats to recompensate and trying to, they're overextending. But I'm not ready to give up. I mean, some people are speaking negatively and already throwing in the towel, but. Let's go, Baltimore.
Well, hey,
I think we got a good shot.
All right, Chris, thanks. Hey, remember the Ravens started 0-2 last year. We had to get the leather couch out for the Dallas game. But with the Orioles, their biggest problem now is the rotation, which was their biggest question mark coming into spring training. And since spring training, you lost Grayson Rodriguez for who knows how long. Zach Eplin, who had a fabulous beginning to the season, he's now out for the foreseeable future. Now, Kyle Gibson was acceptable yesterday against Norfolk. You get what's Gwinnett, whatever, the Braves farm team, AAA. Gibson, 3 1/3, 3 hits, 1 run, no walks, 4 Ks. So, another start, maybe. We'll talk about this, John Mioli, and with Ryan as the show rolls on. By the way, Spencer Strider making a rehab start for them. About 5 1/3, 3 hits, 1 run, 2 walks, 13 strikeouts And this is a guy that's had two Tommy John surgeries. But either way, you talk about Nolan No reinforcements. I guess Kyle Gibson falls into that category. But this was a guy, was a leader, respected in that clubhouse by all accounts, was effective for the most part, kind of faded down the stretch, was pitching out of the bullpen against Texas in the playoffs. So what he brings to the equation, other than veteran savvy experience, I don't know. How effective he'll be remains to be seen. So I'm hoping things go well, or he's at least acceptable, because outside of Eflin, Sagano, everything else has been kind of unacceptable so far.
Right. I mean, best case with Gibson is it's another Charlie Morton, or, well, at least what we've seen from Morton the last couple of years, not the first three starts of this year. Four ERA somewhere, maybe pushing 4.5. He's actually better last year with St. Louis than he was with the Orioles the year prior. Didn't pitch as many innings, but a little more effective. So I think there's still juice in the tank. But like you said, I don't know how many more starts he's going to need to ramp up. You know, he was at, what, 40-some pitches yesterday? Mm-hmm. Next time out, maybe pushing 60. At that point, is that enough where you can confidently bring him up and say, okay, he's not going to go deep, but it's just an arm. It's somebody. We got to get somebody here. I don't know. They might feel the need to pull him early.
And I hope they don't, because remember, this is a guy that was contemplating retirement before the Orioles reached out. I would think two more starts, but who knows? I don't run the team.
Well, from his perspective, you know, you mentioned retirement. He might just say, well, I'm just going to go out there and let it rip. What do I have to lose? You know, I honestly probably shouldn't be playing right now. Nobody else wanted me. If the Orioles didn't have the injury pop up, they probably wouldn't have called me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you don't want to hurt yourself or anything, but, you know, he's towards the end of his career. He might just say, no, nah, I'm good. Send me out there. I'll give you everything I have.
And hopefully whatever that is still something that could help the Orioles win games, or at least get deep into the ball game. Let's get out to the phone. Sportsnet 583-1057 is the number. Featured Artist Friday, Roth era, Van Halen, Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw, Ryan Ripken in studio. Orioles sending out Tomoyuki Sagano, his home debut, weather permitting. It's going to rain all day. What are we waiting for? Let's go to Bob in Edgewater. Bob, what's up?
Hey, Bob. How you doing, man?
Good.
Hey, from the last caller, count me as one that's throwing in the towel. I want to make three quick points.
Go ahead.
Okay? First off, I was going to make a point about pitching, but I'm going to talk about the trade they didn't make. I know for Crochet they wanted Basayo. That's cool. But what happened to Lusardo? Because I look at the Lusardo trade, and, you know, the Phillies gave up their 54th and 84th overall prospect. We couldn't get a Lusardo, who we were targeting allegedly last year. Okay, that's number one.
Okay.
Number two, Bob, I said this last year over and over. The middle of this lineup needs a 300 hitter, like a member of Nelson Cruz, who carried us through 13 when we didn't have Manny Machado or Chris Davis in the lineup. It was Nelson Cruz that was there because he's a feared hitter. Number three, here's my third point. I hope Ryan can address this when he gets online. Have you ever noticed, even last year and even to this year, we get hit by a pitch. What do? Oh, we dust it off and we just run to first. If that was Judge, Ramirez, Vlad, any other of these hitters on any other teams, those guys would give you a stare down and a look. We just politely run to first. There's no dogs, and I think someone said this, no dogs on this team. I'm not saying you charge the mound, but, you know, Henderson maybe, but everybody else just kind of gets hit. Okay, we're good. And the pitchers are going to keep pitching inside, and they're going to keep injuring us and intimidating us. But anyway, that's what I had.
All right, Bob.
That's what was on my mind. All right, thanks, Bob.
All right, good rant. Appreciate that. And the only – nobody likes getting hit. When you played Little League and somebody hit you, you weren't ready to charge the mound. You were looking at your mommy. It's hurt. But nobody likes to get hit with a baseball, quite frankly, because it's coming in at a high rate of speed. But Brandon Hyde almost won over and won Chuck Norris on the Yankees dugout when Heston Kerstad took a fastball upside the dome in the rain at Yankee Stadium. Would you like to see a little more? I don't think I appreciate this. Sure. But do you want to retaliate and it becomes a bean brawl kind of thing? And that goes back years. The Orioles were always against that sort of thing. Earl Weaver frowned upon it. Because now they're throwing at Frank Robinson. They're throwing at Eddie. They're throwing singing. I don't want this to happen. Because they usually go after your dudes. So all right, do you want to see a little more emotion when they get plunked? Sure. By the way, the Lizardo thing, only concern I have with him, gets hurt a lot. He's been a multi-injury guy. And I did read this morning that one of the prospects that was traded for him stole six bases in a game and didn't even get a hit. How about that?
Right. Well, knowing
very Mateo-like.
Knowing the Orioles' luck, they would have traded for him and he'd be on the IL right now. But again, that doesn't make an excuse because the caller makes a good point. I mean, the price tag that he fetched was really not that crazy. Even when you look at what Boston had to give up for him, don't think that that was that insane. But again, what changed between the deadline last year and the offseason where the White Sox were apparently asking for, you know, the Orioles, you know, elite players and unwilling to listen about that next tier down?
You know, well, what I'll agree with what a lot of critics of Mike Elias are saying, you can't keep holding on to these prospects. They're not all going to make it. Like Joey Ortiz is the starting shortstop for the Brewers. And D.L. Hall's on the 60-day IL, but it got you Corbin Burns for a year. So I still think the Orioles won that trade, and he helped you get to the playoffs. And Ortiz could turn out to be an all-star. Who knows with D.L. Hall. Norby's hurt in Miami. Stowers is starting for them, and he's got, you know, moments of success but struggles. So many outfielders, there was no room at the end for him. But Mayo probably would welcome a trade. And who knows? Kerstad's getting fair. He's playing 11 of the 13 games. Now, if Kowser was still here, would that be the case? I don't know. But you can't keep holding on to the prospects because sooner or later they become suspect and eventually flame out. So if there's trade value, flip it. You need pitching. Everyone needs pitching, contenders especially. And I'm not telling Mike Elias how to do his job, but come on, man. You got a World Series ring. Use that thing. By the way, Jesus Luzardo, who we just talked about, is signed through 2026. He's only 27 years old, but he's had some pretty significant injury problems. But, you know, life's a chance. You got to take chances in life to get to where you want to be. Like right now, he's 2-0 with a 150 earned run average for the Philly. But I don't know. Would I have been cool with that? Sure. Depending on the compensation in return. Crochet was the one I was kind of wanting, but doesn't matter. They didn't get either one. And Luzardo goes to a team that's trying to win the World Series. Crochet goes to a division competitor who you've already seen up close and personal. Yeah, I can understand your frustration, but I'm not pushing panic buttons because I'm confident that the offense will come together. What do you think? 410-583-1057 is the number. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw, Vinny is off today. He'll be back on Monday. Ryan Ripken will be joining us in studio at 11 o'clock. We got a lot to get to with him. Jonas Schaefer joins us, Baltimore Banner. Talk Ravens, less than 2 weeks from the draft. First round anyway. Keith Kavanaugh. TerrapinTimes.com. Lost in all of this basketball. The fact that spring football's been happening for like a week and a half. So what's going on down there? And Buzz Williams, speaking of basketball, trying to put together a roster. I saw that one of the analyzers said that Maryland's portal class is one of the top 10 so far in the country. What any of this means, I have no idea until we see them get together and play on the floor. But let's get out to the phones. And a guy who usually is optimistic when it comes to the Orioles. He hated Kevin Willard. Turned out to be a prophet because pretty much all Maryland fans hate him now. I think he's cool with the Ravens. I'm not sure. Let's get PT and Towson. PT. So the Orioles are, 5-8? They've scored 3 runs or less in 7 games. They're in last place, so make us feel better.
Well, first off the top, and I appreciated Bob's call. I thought it was a solid call, but I, with all of my being, I strongly disagree that we do not have dogs. I mean, we've all seen Cedric Mullins, right? Just lay out full on, flat out diving toward the wall, right? Gunnar Henderson, you think somebody's going to step to him? Westberg, Colton Cowser, maybe it was an intellectual mistake diving into first base, but he's just showing how bad he wants it. The Orioles have plenty of dogs. And look, I know, Bob, you haven't completely, and certainly Nolan hasn't thrown in the towel either. I know that, but Nolan's a little more down on the birds, you know, than you are, Bob. So let me hit Nolan with this
yeah,
stuff.
Get him.
No, he's going to get it. Nolan, in all sincerity, you think Dean Kramer the last 3 years, right? 3.23 ERA, 4.1. So we do appreciate he's going to pitch to a 4.1, 4.2 ERA for the season. And you also agree plenty of the batters are well below average. You don't think that's going to bounce back?
Well, guys will bounce back. Like Dean Kramer could pitch to a 4 or a 4.5 ERA. Question is how long? You know, his career high in innings pitched is around 170. Usually falls somewhere around 125, 130. So he's going to miss time at some point. That's what his track record says to me, even if he levels out. Same thing with the offense. Like, you know, Gunnar Henderson's going to get going, no doubt about it. The offense is in a slump right now. The whole offense will click at some point. They will slump again at some point. That's a baseball
season.
Yeah,
but the question is how long are the slumps?
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Like, last year was a second half.
So even if they turned it around starting tonight, somehow the rain disappears, they play tonight. But whatever. If they go on a month heater, they could be right back in the situation again. That's the highs and lows of a season. It's just, in the end, I don't know if it'll be enough.
Right, but nobody's got a deeper lineup than we do, right? I mean, look at, and plus, let's look at the outs, right? I mean, double plays have got to be hit hard for the most part. Mountcastle's smoking the ball. Some of those balls are going to get in the air.
Yeah.
My concern, like, come on, Bob. We were last in the Major League Baseball and grounding the double plays last season.
And now they're first. By a long way, as a matter of fact.
Bob, hey, it's going to transition back. Jackson Holliday, one walk, 11 strikeouts. That I don't like. But the other guys, I'm absolutely, absolutely certain. Obviously, Gunnar Henderson's going to click back. And it wasn't like Hyde and Elias were batting. Heston Kerr said 5-6 in the lineup last year because they didn't have confidence in him. He's going to hit over 20 home runs this year. This team is loaded. I mean, you go ahead and tell me, who's got a better offensive team than the Orioles?
Well, if I look at the stats right now, probably about 17 of them. All right, PT, we got to run. Appreciate it. By the way, it's Gunner's one walk, 11 Ks, not Jackson Holliday to start the season, unless they both are, because we were looking at Gunner yesterday. I agree the offense starts to percolate, for sure. But I don't want to see a team that's looking for answers 13 games in the season. And I don't want to hear about no hard hit balls. Now, if they're at some, they're still outs, Adam balls. That's great. In the box score, bloop singles, a single. Line drive at 120 miles an hour at the center fielder. Let's fly out to center field. We'll come back, take more of your phone calls at 410-583-1057. 11 o'clock, Ryan Ripken's going to be joining us, and so is Jonas Schaefer. We're less than 2 weeks from the first round of the draft. Ravens have the 27th pick. We kind of know what they need. Do we know who they could need? Orioles tonight against Toronto, weather permitting. 7:05 first pitch, Gano against Francis. A couple of righties on the hill there. Tomorrow they wear all orange uniforms. Orange out. First time since, 71? Over 50 years. Insanity, Nolan, insanity. Real quick before we get to the phones, you cool? Thumbs up, thumbs down on the all orange.
I'm just eager to see it. My only concern is, so I didn't see it in person back then, so I'll ask you.
I was 6 the last time I wore
those uniforms. You try to go back in the Wayback Machine here. But just from pictures I've seen, and it could be camera work here, but it looked like it was a darker shade of orange back then. It looked a little more, it looked okay. If you're wearing all orange, but it's like a darker shade, it's cool. I worry it's going to be a little too highlighter orange.
Right.
And it'll be kind of like the equivalent of the Seahawks all neon green. And then that could be sore on the eyes.
And what about if the Blue Jays wore their powder blues?
Oof.
Yeah, now we're full on 1976.
It's like the NFL color rush.
Yeah, right. But I have nothing against it, to be totally honest with you. I mean, I'm kind of a uniform nerd. If it was up to me, the Orioles all day, every day would wear what they wore from 66 through 70, that sort of uniform. But I don't mind the piping. I think their road uniforms today are on point. Home uniforms are acceptable. I don't like the City Connect. That's just me. But apparently that's very popular with the people. And if they see the dollar signs and the money flying in and it's working, they'll keep making them.
Well, what are they going to sell the pants?
What do you mean?
Well, what are they going to make off the orange pants?
I'm talking about the City Connect.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Yeah,
you know, sell the pants anyway. I'll buy them.
No, but either way, that's supposed to happen tomorrow. So if you're, because I guess the hint was because there's a Grayson bobblehead where he's wearing all orange and a little spoiler alert. A couple of months before the season even started. Joe Flacco's got a new home, and so does Josh Johnson. So a couple of former Ravens quarterbacks, no longer unemployed. Ron Ripken joining us top of the hour. Orioles back on the field. We're kind of whining today. Let's go to Jonathan in Columbia. Jonathan, thanks for holding. What's up?
Hey, thanks for taking the call. My question, maybe you can educate me. I'm a casual baseball fan, but always rooted for the local team. And when I remember when I was younger, my dad would have the newspaper. I look at the sports section, and there'd always be, whenever they would look back for the baseball standings, you look at the last 10 games played, I'd always see teams going 2-8, 3-7, 4-6. It just seemed like it was a part of the normal ebb and flow of the season. And so I've listened to the conversation. You know, you all have pointed out specific things that you have identified as key indicators that are off. My question is, even with all those details, you know, being concerning potential trends, and again, maybe this is just a dumb question from a casual baseball fan, like, isn't this just part of the season?
Well, hang up. Yeah, thanks for the call, man. Have a great weekend. Appreciate it. By the way, the Orioles 3-7 in their last 10 games. To make you feel comfortable about the sports page, it is ebbs and flows of the season. But when you're a team that kind of limped home in 24 and went quietly into the October rain in Baltimore in the playoffs against Kansas City, I think a lot of people, and I'm not necessarily one of them, it's more of a carryover from last year, and you haven't really done anything to stem the tide. Stop the bleeding. We'll break out cliches at the yin-yang if you need to. Because second half of 22 through 23 into the first half plus of 24, they were one of the best teams in baseball. Now they're below 500 for an extended period of time. So I can understand the angst. The pitching, starting pitching concerns were real, and they're even worse than they were when we had the concerns in February. I think the offense comes together, but it seems like a team that's not really as energized, Nolan. Am I off base? No pun intended with that. I mean, in 22, 23, through the first half plus of 24, they're doing this. They're all kind of hand gestures. Every E.L.E., everybody loves everybody. Mr. Splash probably had a carpal tunnel syndrome from holding that Dove hose. It looks more like a team that's maybe bewildered a little bit. I don't know.
Right. Well, certainly the last couple innings of that finale against Arizona, just completely out of it.
All they were doing was watching the ball fly off the bats of the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, and then, you know, after the final out, you just kind of saw that look on Gunnar Henderson's face, you're just staring blankly out at the field. So, I don't know. I think it's understandable. You get your doors blown off 9-0. You lose again. But I said earlier, the hitting's contagious. Celebrations can be contagious. You have one win going. We got a nice homestand here. Get the crowd behind you. Could change.
All right, let's get out to the phones before we get to the top of the hour. Antonio in Rosedale. Antonio, what's happening?
Hi, Bob. How are you?
Doing great, Antonio. How you doing?
Good. TGIF.
Correct.
With that poor play, are the Orioles lucky that nobody in the AL East is pulling way ahead? Have a wonderful weekend, Bob.
All right, Antonio, you do the same. Yeah, they're lucky. Hey, look, Toronto just got swept in New York by the Mets. Boston was red hot. Blue Jays go to Fenway, win 3 out of 4, lose yesterday in the 11th. Yankees, like the Orioles, have a ton of injuries. Torpedo bats aside, Clark Schmidt looks like he might be coming back, but they're banged up. Tampa just gave up, 6 home runs yesterday. 3 guys. Joe Adell, who hadn't had a home run all year, hit 2 in an inning yesterday against them. Yeah, Orioles are shaky, as we've discussed many times. They are lucky. I mean, if a team was off to like a Tigers 1984 start, the Birds might be in a peril. Well, not peril. But, you know, they'd be scuffling a little bit. So, yes, they're lucky. They're not buried by any stretch of the imagination. We haven't even hit Easter yet. But concerns about the team are becoming real. And the biggest concern was the rotation, which is even more concerning now than it was then. And boneheaded base running, shaky defense, offense coming alive. We think those will stabilize. And no save situation, so we don't know how that's going to turn. Hey, Felix going to be what he was at 23? We don't have a save situation yet. Maybe they'll have one tonight. And I guess since they haven't played in a couple of days, he'll get the first chance to convert. Inconsistent offense. They're either all or nothing, but 5-8, they're 2.5 games out of first. So to the point, the last couple of callers, no, they're not buried, but they're kind of stinking right now. Ryan Ripken joins us next. So does Jonas Schaefer.